Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of HFS Unfiltered. I have the immense pleasure of having Hiral, who's firstly my friend, but secondly, he's also the CEO of Meltrace, a really up-and-coming digital product engineering company built around verticalized AI. So, Hiral, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Saurabh, and always a pleasure to speak to a fellow Chicagoite. So,
Hiral, let me jump into this. You and I've had several conversations around Meltrace, and you position it as a digital product engineering company, and I really like your verticalized AI approach. But if you sort of go under this sort of positioning statement and look at it very practically, how does this vertical AI approach change the way that you think through the design, pricing, solutioning of your services compared to a traditional services firm?
So as you know, right? I mean, seems like this whole AI first, vocabulary is being abused, there's obviously a lot of agents and a lot of hype. Having said that, we've taken a slightly nuanced approach, like you mentioned, on the vertical AI side. So let me maybe take a step back, right? The whole sort of cycle from whether it's design, just even thinking about the blueprint of design all the way to solutioning / pricing. And then, of course, what's most important is the delivery has to change, right? Has to change in this kind of new world of AI native or AI first. The interesting thing, though, is that what is not possible in the past is happening in seconds or minutes, and so when we look at the traditional model of assessments and analysis, etc., I mean, nothing wrong with that, but what we're doing differently now is moving to kind of a quick diagnostic and then turning alignment to action. So it's really cutting down the entire kind of initial part of the scoping and the solutioning. But you and me have been like in the industry for 2.5 decades, and we've been hearing about business outcomes and customer aligned SLAs, etc., for a while. What's different this time, I would say, is we've used a slightly kind of much more simpler framework called build, modernize, and monetize. It creates a self-funding kind of cycle, whether it's product development, engineering, or even delivery, and bringing in those industry specific workflows and industry specific use cases, it's really what's changing the pricing model. And then the most important thing is that you have to finally deliver this with a combination of domain and product squads, as we call it, right? So it's no longer just domain depth. You need to have a product mindset plus the industry use case mindset, bringing in, together, of course, with technology and architecture.
So Hiral, I think there's a lot changing in the world, as you rightly mentioned, in the way that we buy and sell services. But I think as this world changes, I think all of us also have to change. And you've led large P&Ls at very large companies like Wipro. You were the CEO of Mastic before this. How has your leadership playbook changed at Meltrace, looking at this AI era that we are entering into? What are there things that you had to unlearn, or are there things that you had to learn? How are you changing as a leader?
Saurabh, I mean, there's some things that don't change, right? I mean, customer intimacy, customer intelligence, I mean, being close to the customer, understanding their business and their processes. I mean, that's something that I think goes forever, irrespective of where you are. But there's a lot to unlearn. And I was fortunate, of course, to be part of some large organizations, but also some small to mid-sized organizations. So from an unlearning perspective, we all talk about leading by example. But one of the biggest things that you have to continue to unlearn is how that leading by example is amplified in smaller but subtle things and still impactful. It could be in you know, leading by example to win a deal, to do a presentation, or, you know, interestingly, even on culture, right? I mean, it's so important in kind of the AI native organizations from a culture and work-life balance perspective. It's interesting, last week we had an all-hands meeting with our entire company, and our entire presentation or interaction was based with Gen Z lingo. And all, you know, everyone from my leadership team or ELT were in Gen Z lingo. So that's an example, right, of not just on the technical side or the AI side, but also on the cultural side.
So Hiral, we should have another session just to teach me the Gen Z lingo. But another very interesting aspect of Veltris is that you are a PE-backed firm, right? You have a couple of PEs or multiple PEs that back you. And you and I have talked about an aggressive M&A sort of approach as well as you move forward. What's your investment thesis? What are you trying to acquire? And then also, you know, as we've also always seen, you know, how do you avoid becoming just a stitched together, you know, IT services company which has like these five brands but they don't talk to each other?
Yeah, you know, I mean, M&A is not easy, as you know, right? I mean, there have been some successful M&As, but there's a lot of failure. So it's really important to have a sharp, kind of acute strategy, and then, of course, execute the hell out of it. Having said that, there's some foundational expectations from our M&A thesis, which I think are more table stakes, you know, just financial health and growth mindset, you know, the right team, high potential areas, etc. So those kind of go without saying. But what we're looking at is, as a, you know, as Veltris is a vertical AI solutions orchestrator, we're looking for companies which can accelerate the AI readiness and AI adoption. And I love the aspect of being part of a private equity ecosystem, because there's a lot more sharper, you know, value creation focus, both for the customer and for the organization. And so when it comes to AI readiness, it's about data modernization, it's about cyber readiness, but in the context of verticals or micro industries. And this is interesting, right? Because even firms like Databricks and Snowflakes of the world are, you know, building their data intelligence platform with industry-specific use cases. When it comes to AI adoption, we use the word monetize quite a bit, because there's a lot of investments that have gone into products or platforms, and the ROI from that is still questionable, right? So the way we can unlock that is to really look at, again, micro-industry-specific workflows, you know, automate, embed intelligence into those workflows with AI, but also create new revenue streams, create new products, you know, to grab market share and really truly monetize and get ROI from those investments. So those would be some of the examples of firms and assets that we're looking for.
I think the aspect of AI readiness is very, very important, Hiral. In fact, our research indicates that for every dollar that companies spend on AI, they need to probably spend $2.5-$3 on data to get that ready. Because otherwise, you know, we'll have another shining tool which doesn't really, get to the ambitions that we all have with it. But I think the other point that I wanted to pick on was this whole micro industry aspect of the Veltris go-to-market strategy. You recently acquired this company, BPK Technologies. And so clearly you are doubling down on healthcare, but also very interestingly on micro segments within healthcare, like the dental practice with this acquisition. What are you seeing in terms of this micro segmentation, AI, SaaS play? How does this play out in healthcare over the next 3-4 years, Hira?
Yeah. Like you said, VPK Technologies gave Veltris an additional micro-industry, particularly in the dental slash multi, as we call it, multi-unit kind of retail health ecosystem. And but there's a lot more to do, even just in dental or multi-unit health, right? Because there itself, you start with working with some of these multi, practice-based dental clinics or veterinary kind of animal health, vet care clinics. But there's an entire ecosystem. Like, for example, dental insurers or payers, right, is a huge market. But then if you take a step back on healthcare, because that's so wide and broad, as you know, there even we're focused on very specific segments. There's obviously the macro elements of the big bill and worker shortage and nursing shortage, etc. But keeping that aside, the operational and administrative workflows are still broken, and I'm hoping that in our lifetime we can collectively make an impact on that. And I do think that vertical SaaS moving to vertical AI is now playing a meaningful role there, right? So that's clearly the one area. There's a lot that's said about the patient, putting the patient at the center, but if you look at all the activity, it's still around payers and providers and all these kind of bigger companies. I think that's one thing I feel will change in the next 2 to 3 years, because the personalized patient journeys, right, whether it's home care or even care delivery, we're working with a lot of health tech platforms that have put patient truly at the center, and it's really exciting to see kind of how that it could be a journey of a patient and from a dentist perspective or all the way from a pharmacy perspective. And so that, I think, set of workflows on the patient personalization is going to be huge. And the other thing that I think will happen, we're seeing it in parts as well, there's some disruptors, right? There's some disruptors in terms of platforms that are challenging what a United Health or what a CVS pharmacy does in some of these areas, and that is going to be interesting, because I do believe that there's as we know, more efficient ways of embedding automation and intelligence in the various workflows that exist today, right? I do like certain kind of nuanced things. I mean, there's an interesting company called I don't know if you've heard of Hippocratic AI. They kind of work on patient safety, as an example. So something so specific, but doing so well, and so we're really banking on some of these kind of industry-specific use cases as we look at the future of Veltris growth in the healthcare as well.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I really, really like how you're not just going after payers and providers, but really micro-segments. And I think that's a big aspect of the Veltris differentiation in at least my mind. And talking about healthcare, I'm wishing for the day where I can understand my EOB era. I don't know if that'll happen in my lifetime or not, but the day that I can explain my explanation of benefits, I'll be a happy person.
Oh.
But one more look, I think Veltris sort of serves number of small clients as well as large clients across industries in healthcare, media comms, industrial manufacturing clients. As you look at your client base, Hiral, where do you see the maximum urgency? And by urgency, I also mean budget for AI related initiatives.
I mean, we want to really be one of those kind of boutique specialist differentiating orchestrators that truly bridges the hype to reality kind of gap and reset the needle, right? I mean, so from that perspective, yes, we talked about healthcare, earlier. I mean, clearly there is, funding and money in specific areas. So maybe I'll pick a slightly different area. One of the areas which is hard to crack is the whole aspect of physical worlds and hard tech, right? When there is product, hardware, software embedded together. And so, yes, there's been Industry X.0 and Edge and all these other things with digital twins, etc. But I truly think that some of those underrated, use cases, while maybe slightly difficult to crack, on the smart kind of manufacturing, smart factory floor side, will be truly kind of ROI generating. I mean, I've spoken to so many different kind of upper mid market or even lower enterprise type of clients who are right now just looking at just predictive maintenance in the shop floor, right? And looking at just kind of basic field operations, automation, et cetera. I mean, small things which are still highly impactful. But when things like procurement or logistics, et cetera, can get combined with supply chains and factories, in this truly kind of converging world or connected world, because we have this thesis that, hey, smart, secure networking will actually power smart cities and smart factories, et cetera. And so, in fact, last week at our, earlier this month at our conference in our annual customer event, Wellanova, this was one of those themes. And so we believe that on the whole kind of communications, manufacturing side, there's some interesting things in addition to the healthcare use cases that we talked about.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, Hiral, this has been a fascinating conversation. But before I let you go, we are almost about to end this year. And, I'm pretty sure you'll have some personal wishes for 2026. But what's your one wish, if there was one wish that could come true from an industry perspective, in the industry that both of us live in, what would that be for 2026?
Oh, wow. That's that's an interesting and a tough one, Saurabh. I mean, there is so much going on that is starting to kind of unravel in front of us. I would say that my big wish, not necessarily from an industry perspective, is that our next generation, continues to sort of truly have this continuous learning mindset because there is so much ahead of us. I mean, we talked about, our lifetime and healthcare, et cetera, but there's so many difficult problems that are yet to be solved. So it's not even about 2026, but what we do in 2026, in terms of education, in terms of attitude, in terms of truly kind of solving some problems, I think will set the stage for maybe even the next 2-3 decades to come. So that's really what's exciting.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're, as always, a glass half full kind of a guy, Hiral. This has been a fascinating conversation. I always do, whenever I speak with you, I learn something new. And Hiral, best of luck for the future of Veltris. Our best wishes, and I hope people who are listening to our conversation would have gained some insights and wisdom from you, Hiral. So thanks a lot for joining us.
No, always a pleasure, Saurabh. And HFS continues to be doing some really disruptive, interesting thought leadership work. So continue to push that envelope looking forward to what's to come for all of us.
Super. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.